Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On this last Sunday of the church year, our gospel reading takes us to the cross of our Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 23, again, a portion of that gospel reading, and there followed Jesus a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, he said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" And two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. I said it to the children already, and I say it again. It sure seems like somebody made a mistake today, kind of messed things up with this gospel reading and our bulletin cover, singing of Lenten hymns, bringing out the crucifix that we usually bring out on Good Friday. You don't expect this stuff at the end of the church year. You expect these things on Good Friday, during a service of Tenebrae, when our Lord is stricken, smitten, and afflicted. But no, there is no mistake here, because you see, Good Friday is the beginning of the end. Good Friday is the lens through which we as Christians see everything. That's why the cross is at the front of the church. Good Friday is the day that changed the world. It's the day at the center of history and the center of our lives. Everything before Good Friday was leading up to Good Friday. Everything after Good Friday flows from Good Friday. So even on this last Sunday of the church year, we ponder the end of time through the lens of the cross. Because the death of Jesus is the life of his people, and it is our only hope at the end of time. So today, let's focus our attention on that one little sentence from our gospel reading, the word of Jesus from the cross. "First of all, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus was praying this prayer for those who put him on the cross, those who drove the nails through his hands and feet, and those who mocked him even though he prayed for them, those whose appetites would not be satisfied until they had taken his life. "Father, forgive them," he prays. "Make this forgiveness for which I am being sacrificed available to them too." And we are amazed at that kind of love, because we know how hard it is to forgive someone who has sinned against us, and for much lesser sins than what Jesus had to endure. But it's the second part of that word from the cross that I really want to focus on today, when Jesus said, "For they know not what they do." And that was certainly true on Good Friday. Those who put Jesus to death did not know what they were doing, obviously, or they would not have done it. They did not know that the head they crowned with thorns was that of the King of creation. They did not know that the hands they were piercing with nails were the same hands that had knit them together so fearfully and wonderfully in their mother's womb. They did not know that the feet that they fastened to the cross were the same feet that had walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day and would soon make the earth their footstool. They just didn't know. And they didn't know that this death was for their life. They didn't know. Now, of course, we think we know. we think we know what we're doing. And of course, that's a big problem for us. That's a tendency of our sinful, broken, fallen nature. We're like Eve, who thought she knew what she was doing when she bit into the fruit. We're like the Israelites, who thought they knew what they were doing when they turned away from God to the fertility gods of the Canaanites. We always think we know what we're doing. We think we know better, and therefore we think we know what God ought to be doing too. Those who cried out for Jesus to be crucified thought they knew what they were doing. They thought they were getting rid of a troublemaker and a blasphemer. They thought they were doing God a favor. Well, those who believed in Jesus, of course, were left totally confused, wondering, what in the world is going on here? Does God know what he's doing? And that question also came up in the Old Testament reading, didn't it? The people in Malachi's day were saying, look, we're doing everything that God tells us to do. We're going around mourning our sins, we're making our sacrifice, but what does it get us? It's the arrogant ones in this world who are blessed. It's the evildoers who are prospering and always putting God to the test with their sins and their perversions, and nothing's happening. They're getting away with it. Does God know what he's doing? And that's a question that bedevils us too. You know, it seems like God should be prospering the righteous people, making our lives somehow noticeably better than the lives of the unbelievers, and punishing them so that it's obvious who is righteous and who is not. But instead, it is evil that keeps advancing in the world, and it's the church that keeps struggling. By all appearances, it is vain to serve the Lord. That's what they said in Malachi's day. It's vain to serve the Lord. We're not getting anything from it. And then the world taunts, hey, if you really knew what you were doing, you would abandon this God of yours and you'd join us. But faith sees that Jesus called it right from his cross, that it is we who do not know what's going on. I mean, how often do things turn out differently than what you expected? When what we thought would be good turned out to be bad, and what we thought would help actually hurt. When we thought we had everything planned out, and then everything changed. And the other way around too. When what we thought was going to be terrible turned out to be pretty good. The truth is, we just don't know. We don't know the impact that our words are going to have on another person. We do not know the way our behaviors and actions are going to ripple through our relationships and through time. We do not understand the way our choices will affect our lives and the lives of others. You see, our problem is that we live in sin's darkness, and we just don't see things very well in this darkness, and therefore we do not know what we are doing. It's like the night that I thought I was going to make my way across the room in the darkness. You know, I knew the room well. I'd lived there a number of years, so I thought I knew what I was doing, until a moment later I'm laid out flat on the carpet, having just tripped over a pair of shoes that I didn't know were there. You see, when you try to make your way in the darkness, you might think that you're all right when you aren't. You may think you know what you're doing when you really have no idea. King David thought he knew what he was doing. When he brought Bathsheba to himself, he thought he was going to have his fun and get away with it. He's the king. He's in control. Little did he know what he was doing or the price that he would pay for his hubris and his arrogance. Jesus is absolutely right about us. They know not what they do. You see, friends, there's always more going on than meets the eye. In our epistle reading today, Paul said to the Colossians that Jesus is the creator of all things visible and invisible, as we confess in the Nicene Creed. And there is a whole lot more invisible going on than any of us know. So maybe it would be helpful to think of God's work in our lives and in this world like an iceberg. Most of what he does is hidden to our eyes. What we see on the surface is just a tiny part of what's going on. We don't know what God is doing beneath the surface and how he's working in this world and in our lives. There is more going on than meets the eye, and nowhere is that more true than at the cross. Because what the eye sees there is a man, a mere mortal, suffering a criminal's punishment. And yet this is no criminal. This is the Son of God, the Lamb of God, atoning for the sins of the world. I know it doesn't look like it, but then again, what do we know? We don't know what's going on. God does. And then when we dig deeper into that message, we discover that this cross is the promise to us that even though we are so arrogant as to think we know what's going on, even though the very best of our intentions are tainted by the darkness of sin, that even for us, there is redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, and the promise of paradise because of the cross, because of Christ crucified. And that's why Malachi can hold out to us the promise of the hope of that coming day, that last great day, when those who served the Lord, those who paid attention to him, those who esteemed his name, will become his treasured possession forever. And on that same day, we and the whole world will see the clear distinction between the righteous and the wicked, says the prophet, between those who served God and those who did not. And many, many will weep on that day, those who thought they knew what they were doing. And they will cry out for the mountains to fall on them and for the hills to cover them rather than to face the judgment. But the redeemed, like that forgiven thief on the cross on that day, will be with Jesus in paradise and marveling for all of eternity how God knew all along exactly what he was doing. Friends, we just don't know what's going on. You know, we thought vaping was a safe alternative to smoking. And now there are scores who are dead, and many of them very young, and thousands more who have destroyed their own lungs. Can't we just come into agreement with Jesus? Truly, we do not know what we are doing. We cannot see well in this sin-darkened world. And when we can't see well, what do? We go to the eye doctor. And as we look through the doctor's machine, you know, she shifts and moves the different lenses in front of our eyes until we find the right lens through which we can clearly see again. And when the church is not seeing things right, she always goes back to Good Friday. That one lens through which Christians see everything clearly. Because it's there at the cross that we see the enormity of our sin and of our arrogance and of our hubris. But it's there that we also see the enormity of God's love for us and the lengths He would go to redeem our lives. At the cross, we see that God knows what He's doing even on the worst of days. There, at the cross, we see our own fears about the last day just melt away. For we see Christ crucified for us, that our sins might be taken away, that we too will be with Jesus in paradise. So Good Friday is the lens through which the church sees everything right. We are neither nearsighted, only concerned about the here and the now, nor are we farsighted, only concerned about the end and eternity. But we see the past, the present, and the future all through the lens of Jesus' dying love and forgiveness. Because of Him, and through Him, and in Him, now we know what's going on. In His precious name, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.